Welcome to the
Black Hole State.
It is me, Bjork.
Just kidding. It's not. No. Okay.
Just kidding.
It was me the whole time.
We got you.
Welcome to the Black Hole State.
It's so loud already.
Welcome to the Black Hole State podcast. I'm Jack.
I'm Liv.
I'm Owen, the number one sniper.
Welcome back, you guys. We're missing one member tonight.
Yeah.
She could not be with us because she is out in the Rottos hunting some goblins with her brother.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She's on a long journey, and we wish her well and wish her some good success with that goblin hunting, but we're just going to fill up the space for a bit.
I've been down to the Rottos.
Oh, have you?
I've been down. It's crazy down there.
Yeah.
Because goblins there are different than goblins here.
Yeah, you would know. How so? You are a goblin.
Well,
expert.
Because, like, because the goblins are here are kind of just, like, don't really want to talk to them because they, like, I don't know.
I feel like there's, like...
But the goblins there are, like, in Rotto are, like, really... They're, like, nice, but nice they're two-faced.
Well, okay, but, like,
because they're goblins.
Like, I feel like I'm kind of, like, a goblin sympathizer, though, because I feel like there's a systemic, like, racism towards goblins, especially in this state, but, like, other places, I feel like they can get along easier, you know? But, like, there's such an issue here because,
there's,
like
different attitudes of goblins in different states.
Oh, no, definitely, yeah. I know that much about that, but...
What's so funny, Jack?
I mean, listen... They do smell kind of...
Well, everyone knows
I'm
that.
I'm just saying, all right?
Wait,
look.
Well, hold on.
I'm saying what we're all thinking.
We're okay.
I'm with Jack here. They know they smell bad.
Right.
So we saw Spider-Man Far From Home this
yes,
morning.
Yes, we did.
What a segue, dude.
That's supposed to be my joke.
Yeah,
we saw a 10 o'clock matinee of Spider-Man.
And it was glorious.
It was very good. Nice.
It was
I
a
love
very
paying
good movie.
$3.99 for a ticket. But this podcast, we were just going to talk about saturation. Specifically, cinema saturation. Because I feel like that's a hot topic, especially if you're someone who constantly goes to watch movies or just enjoys the movie scene in general. Some people think that certain type of movies are getting old and we need something new and something fresh. We have remakes. We have, what else do we have? There's a gap between you and the mic. You know?
Yeah.
sorry, we're in a crammed space here. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, like remakes, which are definitely an oversaturated genre of film at this point. Superhero, horror. We want to talk about it all, to be honest, because we think it's an interesting topic, but I digress. Seeing Far From Home this morning was really interesting, because I've kind of been, like, mixed on the superhero saturation thing. I'm kind of like... I'm in between, depending on what movie, because I have seen some movies where I was like, that reminds me of this movie.
Yeah.
And you two have seen, like, Captain Marvel. I can't really give you any opinions
yeah.
besides the fact that I just don't like Brie Larson, and I don't like Captain Marvel from, like, Endgame and Infinity War. Oh, by the way, this is a spoiler-heavy podcast, so if you haven't seen any of these movies by now, and
keep
you
watching.
Don't want, if you do want to watch them and don't want spoiled, this is just a warning, like, we're sorry, but we're just going to talk about these movies.
Mm.
Far From Home, sorry, I know it's a bit soon on that, but, like, it's in theaters. You can see it for $3 if you go early enough, so go see it.
Well, it's in theaters at the time we're recording this.
Right.
This is true. I mean, it's still going to be in theaters by the time we release this.
That is true.
If everything goes to schedule.
To plan, yeah.
I mean, if the war goes as scheduled.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
But anyways, yeah, you guys have seen, like, Captain Marvel. You could probably...
Yeah, it was a movie. It was a movie
it
I
definitely,
saw.
People, like, paid money to see it.
I've heard people describe it as the Superman of the Marvel universe.
That is definitely how I would
just
put it.
Bland.
Just so...
She's so fucking, like, stoic.
And, I would
like,
say stoic.
There's, like,
I'd
a different... No, it's like...
A brick wall.
Yeah,
like,
that's...
It's,
that,
like,
yeah.
It's, like, annoyingly stoic. Like, they're trying to be stoic.
It's like an anime character. Like, I feel like an anime character could get away with that demeanor, but, like,
yeah.
Anyone in real life is, like... I don't know. Why can't anime get away with that?
Brie Larson in this movie is the girl that's shorter than everyone, but is also really uptight and says she's going to be president when she's older in fourth grade?
I mean, yeah, probably. She like, probably
did. That's just like what she reminds me of. That's a way of describing her. That just reminds me... That's what she reminds me of that whole movie, and that's what she reminds me of in Endgame. More in Endgame than in Captain Marvel.
She's a segue feminist, which is the worst type of feminist. But that's as far as I'll go with that.
That whole wave.
But I think the worst type of feminist is a woman.
Am I right?
Hell yeah, boy.
Yeah, let's get it. Let's get it.
But no, like, after I got out of that movie, I just felt like nothing, but just like... It was like a mix of nothing, but also just like
empty.
Emptiness, I honestly just wish aggravation. That Nick Fury was so good in that movie. I just wish they would have like just focused on Nick Fury entirely.
I think the most heartbreaking thing about, and like just as someone who's been learning about how the industry works and like what goes into movie making, especially these multi-million-dollar movies, especially if it's a Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the majority of the movie gets, like, destroyed by producers and by executives and shit. Yeah. But somewhere deep down in the writer's room that you'll never see or never hear from in the script, in the first drafts of the script, there's a writer that really cared about Captain Marvel and wanted her to be good and wanted girls to like her and look up to her and wanted this whole thing. And then execs got involved and producers got involved and it became the... shit show.
Honestly,
movie that it is.
I feel like it's more of a Brie Larson problem.
It's definitely a mix, but like the thing that stood out to me the most about the movie was just like the lack of backstory.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't build on her at all. They're just like, all right, this is kind of how. Like, yeah, they didn't like explain.
That's really strange for a Marvel movie because they make their movies that. Explain everything to you so any audience member can watch
exactly. It. Exactly, and it didn't feel like...
Some people have a hella problem with that. Some people hate having movies tell you, like, what's going on and what happened. Because, like, the whole show and don't tell thing is pretty big and, like, I guess, like, more serious cinema.
Yeah.
But it's a superhero movie.
Right.
It's supposed to be for a wide range of audience, and if you really get that annoyed about someone going, well, when I was a child, or, like, you know, something like that, I don't know.
You should expect that when you go and do a superhero movie.
Yeah, definitely.
Movie.
Right.
And to a Marvel movie especially. But it's just like, I don't know. Like I said, I didn't see the movie, but I saw enough that I wanted to see of Captain Marvel and Endgame, and that's all I can take of
just
her.
So basically, since you haven't seen the movie, the best I can describe it as, you take that 10 minutes of Endgame with her in it and just extend it to 2 hours.
Yeah, I'm good.
That's about it,
I'm
really.
Fine.
There is one part in Endgame with her that I fucking love genuinely, and it's when Thanos headbutts her and she just doesn't move. That I was like,
that's fucking awesome. That was pretty cool.
That's just cool. But other than that, she's just
well, that's I think
I get out
show
of here.
And don't tell too, because she's got this like attitude that's supposed to make her like badass and
like it's like her whole attitude is like the writer's telling you, she's the strong female character. Don't forget.
Yeah, guys.
Don't forget that she's the strong female character.
Yeah.
Even though
you guys didn't have me, I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
I think the whole theater just went, ugh.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a mix. Like her alone, she just has this whole demeanor that's just very, just gross. I guess.
Yeah. I heard the first time I saw Endgame in theaters. She said that, and I think I heard someone behind me go, shut the fuck up.
That was probably me.
I think I just sighed.
Yeah.
And then when the whole scene happened in the big fight where they're like, she's got us, I was like, for fuck's sake, man.
You'll get your rent when you fix this goddamn door.
They did the same shit in Infinity War.
Yeah.
But even then, it wasn't that bad with just Wanda and,
Yeah, that it wasn't...
That was a good scene!
Like, I didn't mind that. That was clearly, like, a political push. I'm like, hey, feminism, LOL.
But
also,
it wasn't
at the same time...
Yeah.
We'd actually, I mean, it wasn't like as much, but we actually saw a scene of them all together in the same room.
Yeah, those alien things, which was cool, but like, I don't know. Anyways, we got off a, that's a continued tangent, we'll continue, but Far From Home, that's a fun movie.
Far From Home.
Very fun movie. Tom Holland is freaking incredible.
Tom Holland's a cute little really baby boy. I love him. Great
actor. He's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
He's the reason I cried
in all those Avengers movies. He was the reason
I brought me to tears. Well, and he plays... This 23-year-old man is so good at playing a 16-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Like...
Some wouldn't know if to take that as a compliment or not. I would.
I mean, I think Tom Holland would take that as a compliment because that was kind
of... No, it's a hard thing to do, though. That was
his job, yeah. But, like...
Now, if you were Tom Holland and they weren't talking about a movie...
You
play a really good 16-year-old, you know that?
One thing I was talking to you guys about earlier, too, after we saw the movie, is, like, God, he, like, nailed... You know an actor is paying attention when they can nail mannerisms of other actors.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, I don't really know too much about it, but I feel like Tom sat there and watched Robert Downey Jr. be Tony Stark and watched Captain America be Captain America. And, like, because there were just certain little quirks about him throughout that movie that was just like, oh my God, like, he's,
mm-hmm.
like, that's just incredible attention to detail that I, like, really appreciate. And I yeah. love seeing that throughout that movie. Like, he just... Those small moments where he'd, like, fold his arms the way Tony folds his arms mm-hmm. or just, like, other things with, like, he would, like, hold his chin or something yeah, like that. I yeah. love that shit. I just really appreciate when actors take the extra mile to, like, really, like, fill in a character because it yeah. makes you feel more connected to them Absolutely. In the end.
There was a point where I really thought that he was about to say I could do this all day. And... I would have lost my shit if he did.
Yeah. yeah.
Oh, dude, when he picked up that piece of metal.
That was
oh, yeah.
And
oh,
swinging, my God. I was like, what?
That was one of my favorite parts of that old
that
movie.
That was dope.
That was insane.
Yeah, just that freaking experience of being in the theater when Captain America picks up the...
Oh, my
People were losing their
that
shit.
That was
the
first
the
time I'd ever, like started uncontrollably laughing and couldn't stop because of just how cool something was.
Yeah.
I remember we were actually in a pretty quiet theater the first time I saw Endgame. Until literally that moment, I think there was a row of just Marvel fans, just dudes up front. And yeah. as soon as he picked that up, everyone was like, "Oh!"
yeah, yeah.
Unified, like...
unified horror.
And just people losing their shit. And then people clapped after yeah, that happened. That was, it was like, what yeah. a weird... Movie culture's fucking weird, dude. But you understand it at the same time.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
because, like, I'm thinking about it from their perspective. And, like, that's
oh,
something
yeah.
they've been waiting
exactly.
for
yeah.
ever.
Wasn't that, like, a fan theory? Almost?
No, that's, like, a thing that's happened, like, 7 times in the comics.
And just never in, like...
And, like, people have been wanting him to do it because he totally can.
Yeah.
And they teased us in Age of Ultron.
Oh, yeah, yeah, with the little... And Thor's yeah. just like...
What the fuck?
Yeah. Oh, man. Thor's a great character.
Thor is a great character.
Dude,
part of me is gonna miss the OGs. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I'm really interested in Marvel's continuation of their own universe, but, like, at the same time, like, I'm gonna miss the boys.
I feel like it's gonna get... I'm... So far, it's been okay. And I trust the boys upstairs to do somewhat of a good job, but part of me has this fear in the back of my head that it's going to get too big, and it's going to get, like, just like, I want Iron Man. Who's fucking space sissy here?
Yeah.
Well, they're going to do... I'm pretty sure Morgan's going to become Iron Man at one point.
Which will be good.
Yeah. And then there's going to be movies with Sam as Captain America.
Yeah.
I'm already ready for that.
That'll be interesting.
I want a Hulk movie.
We need a Hulk movie, man.
Mark Ruffalo movie.
Mark Ruffalo deserves his standalone movie.
He's a treat.
He's an absolute treasure. Every movie he's in is great. He's done way too many movies... where he's just a side character. He deserves his own, man. Say green. Ding,
yeah.
ding.
Ding, ding.
For those of you who haven't seen the last 10 minutes of Endgame thing and don't care to go see it, I think we should just talk about it just because
it's heartfelt
and also hilarious.
Yeah, it's essentially just a tribute to Stan Lee, and it's totally worth seeing. It was very sweet.
Well, the last 5 minutes of it was a tribute to Stan Lee, and I love that. But the first 5 minutes, I think it was Anthony Russo, pops up on screen and goes, "Hey guys, listen, we really love this scene, but we couldn't include it. So here it is." Then it's this really just bad, like very obviously still work in progress scene of this JPEG of a Hulk saving people from a fire. Gets down, T-poses around, goes ding ding, and then Captain America calls him, and that's the end of it. Like, did you really want people to see that?
I think that was supposed to be the original introduction of, like, Banner and the Hulk becoming, one person, I guess.
Yeah.
But I prefer the cafe scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just so out of nowhere. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, we need more person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh. He's just talking, and it's like, oh, shit. No, he's...
These are strange times. That was hilarious.
These are strange times, eh? God. Ragnarok made me love Hulk and, like, Bruce Banner as a character.
Ragnarok? I was like... I never, like... I always liked the MCU.
Yeah.
Especially after Avengers. But I could never consider it a favorite of mine.
Same.
Then Thor Ragnarok came out.
Exactly.
And I was like, fuck, this changes everything. They really need to let Taika Waititi direct more Marvel movies.
Dude, he is such a good director.
Not only did he...
And a good actor.
Not only did he, like, successfully make, a full Marvel comedy, which I did not expect to work at all.
No,
he also somehow managed to make, like, a really impressive arc for all these characters
it's
that had no arc ever.
It's the best Thor movie. It's the best movie that Mark Ruffalo is in too.
I think it's the best one of it's definitely one of the best.
It is my favorite Marvel movie. I put that at the top of.
That's where I would put it there too.
It's just really well done. It's beautiful. One of the underappreciated parts about it. It is shot so beautifully.
They could not have put Jeff Goldblum in a better Marvel movie.
Jeff Goldblum is the best Marvel character.
I'm upset. I'm upset. How could this happen? I don't like that word.
He's a great character. Grand Master's a great character. And Thor became a likable character. Yeah.
They made me like. They
Thor
made Thor one of the most beloved characters.
Like, it's not that he wasn't beforehand. Like, I think we talked about this, Owen, where, like, Thor was good in the Avengers, and he's good in his solo movies are hot garbage. Yeah.
Garbage.
They're garbage. And, like, the first Thor...
The first Thor is okay, but if you look at the dialogue, it's literally like watching a high school Shakespeare production.
Do you want more proof that like it's usually the director's fault as opposed to the actor? Because Natalie Portman is just like the flattest character. Yeah. Jane is a flat character.
But Natalie Portman's a great actor.
She's fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Every angle in the first Thor movie is a Dutch angle. Every single one. It's always like I'm like tilting my head. Like I got my neck like cracked and I can't pull it back up. That's just how I look at people permanently now.
It's about the crookedness of monarchies. Anyways.
And then The Dark World came out. Oh, Christopher Eccleston's in it.
I forgot about that.
And then Ragnarok came out. The only thing I remember about The Dark World is Christopher Eccleston played an elf. And I was like, oh, I remember him because I was super into Doctor Who at the time.
Yeah.
And I still didn't like the movie.
I don't even remember that one.
He sounds like...
I remember when Loki dies.
For the first time.
And then the recreation of that in fucking Ragnarok is the best.
It's like they were making fun of...
They are.
It's so funny. Because that's, like, almost, like, too close to how it was.
Well, okay.
They should make a statue for me. What
could
you do?
We
can
talk about... We can talk about this. This is, like, a giant tangent. But, like, to sum this up, I think people take Marvel movies way too seriously.
I agree with that.
I agree. Okay, so, like, I am not someone who read the comics. I'm really not. I think I love comic books. I just was never into Marvel comics. I kind of just missed that boat, I think, because Owen, you got really into like X-Men comics.
I was
for a while.
Wolverine to this day is still my favorite superhero.
Right.
He has one of the coolest. You want to talk about damaged? He is damaged.
I love Wolverine.
He's got a hard life.
Mm-hmm.
He's died so many times. There was a comic that almost made me cry. because it was called, like, The Death of Wolverine, I think. And how he dies is he literally gets, like, molten adamantium, like, poured on him, and he suffocates. And it's just, like, the last, like, little panel is just that, like, him, like, the statue. That was him just looking off into the sunset. It's really sad. Because he's, like, my favorite character.
Logan messed me up.
Here's something that pisses me off. When people go to a comic book movie, they expect everything to be the same as the comics. Which, you should know by now, will never be the case. A lot of people don't like Hugh Jackman as Wolverine because he's not short.
What? Yeah.
In the comics, he's kind of small. And like a Wolverine. Yeah, he's short, I get that. Isn't he?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
There's a certain thing of like, well, one, who are they going to find to be that small?
Exactly.
And two,
Peter Dinklage.
Heck yeah.
Call me Southpaw up one more time. Shit. But Hugh Jackman did a phenomenal job with that role in every movie he was in. I cannot see anyone else.
Sorry.
I can hear other people doing it, but I can't see anyone else. He is the one. Yeah. He's just like so. He made it his own too. His Wolverine is unique.
The videos of him, like, doing the ADR for Logan, where he's,
it's crazy.
Getting himself pumped up and shit. He's so dedicated
to
that
role. Well, the thing that I like about Hugh Jackman's Wolverine is that all the other cartoon voices, they try to go like, what's up, bub? And then, like, Hugh Jackman, like, somehow made a mix of, like, angry Canadian but still sounds like a normal dude. And it humanizes him. I don't want to get political, but I like when characters are humanized.
I mean, that's how another, do you pronounce Bjork? Topic of discussion. So like, if people taking comic book movies too seriously and like just superhero movies too seriously, I think to a certain degree I respect people who like love the comic books and want to see their favorite arcs in the comic books come to life and get disappointed when something doesn't happen. I respect that because, like, I feel like I've been in that position with, like, God, like, I'm trying to think of something related to comic books that, like, maybe disappointed me, but that wasn't it. Like, I can't really think of anything off the top of my head, to be completely honest with you. But I respect that because I know how it is to, like, love something so much and not want it to get ruined when they try to make something out of it. But if you don't even, like, MCU movies, you gotta respect what they've done. You've got Peter Jackson, who did the Lord of the Rings trilogy, which is iconic to this day. You've got Star Wars, which is nothing else is like Star Wars. The MCU, how many movies do you need to watch to understand
it? Literally, like, actually, like, 24.
Exactly. Yeah, like it is already. Not a trilogy.
24 in it's, 10 it's not, years. Yeah.
It's not like you. They have somehow made this giant connected arc that has been so successful. It's made Disney one of the most richest fucking
in a shorter span than like the Lord of the Rings and Star Wars were created. Yeah. By the way,
yeah, no.
10 years
and those movies get made relatively quickly. Yeah. Besides Infinity War and Endgame, they snap those movies out so quick.
And most of them, turn out looking great.
Well, you know,
some of them don't.
Black Panther. So that's another thing. Hey, wait, hold on. Black Panther.
I'm specifically talking about the train fight scene at the end that looks like a PS1 cutscene.
Everyone complains about that, but like, I think Black Panther visually was pretty well done.
Oh no, I love that movie, but that's one that blast scene, man.
If you want to like talk about the visual side of Marvel movies and how some people get kind of bored with how saturated they are, is because for some of them, like I'm going to talk about Captain America and Iron Man. There's nothing special about the way those movies look, cinematography is the last thing they really think about when it comes to those movies, which isn't exactly a huge issue, But I feel like that contributes to people going, yeah, this is the same movie over and over again because there's nothing unique that makes them stand out. That's why I love Guardians. Why I love Ragnarok. That's why I liked Black Panther, because those movies stand out visually.
Doctor and Strange is also another movie that stands out visually.
God, oh, yeah. Freaking,
if we're going to talk about visuals in Marvel, we need to bring up Doctor Strange.
Oh, my gosh. Scott Derrickson is wonderful. What a smart dude. He's fantastic.
Ant-Man, kind of. I don't really like the Ant-Man movies, but the Quantum Realm scenes stand out a lot.
I
don't
like Ant-Man either. I felt like those were kind of stale. Mm. But Infinity War and Endgame. Infinity War is, like, my favorite. One of my favorites. Like, next to Ragnarok, Infinity War is fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, I think I was just telling you guys, like, that's one movie that I could just keep watching.
Oh, yeah.
Endgame, not so much. The game, I mean, it's an iconic movie in its own because of what it does for the rest of the story and, like, what it accomplished in theaters and hopefully surpasses Avatar just to knock the
God,
the tyrant off the throne.
Yeah. I'm almost done with Avatar 2. James, it's been 72 years. I just need 6 more months.
God, I don't... If you want to talk about franchises, that's one thing that doesn't need to happen.
It does not need to happen.
I don't know how they think it's going to make money, man. Like, Avatar was impressive when it came out, but we got actual, completely functional CG characters now. From, like, Gollum to Thanos. Like, Avatar is not that impressive. Or, it's not that impressive of a film anymore.
There's not really a...
It's really pretty looking at it, but, like... Look at fucking Thanos.
I don't.
There's so much detail in him as a character, dude.
To be perfectly honest, I don't even think Avatar's really a pretty film anymore. Yeah. Like, I look at it, and a lot of it just makes me feel queasy.
I mean, it's a weird movie, but like the CG and shit in it is really pretty and well done.
I don't know.
When's the last time you watched it?
Like. 2 weeks ago, I saw. I didn't watch it all the way through, but I saw it on TV, and there was one scene. I think it's like one of those pterodactyl birds, like attacking like with a mech. So I was like, that looks like garbage. That looks awful.
See, go ahead, Jackson.
I was just gonna say I can't remember a goddamn thing about that movie. I don't know.
That's another thing.
It's not that good of a movie.
It's just,
I can remember... my 6-year-old voice came out. I can remember a lot of things from Marvel movies. I can remember more about a 24-film spanning franchise than one 2-hour James Cameron movie that came out in 2009 about Smurfs.
I mean, the plot for... Avatar is recycled anyways.
Mm-hmm.
It's, military American representation destroys native representation, and the American representation is the bad guys, and native representations are the blue peoples, and it's about culture and getting outside of the United States for once, Jesus Christ, and being anti-patriotic and blah blah. Like, we've seen that shit a million times, so the plot is completely uninteresting. The main character isn't even that interesting either. I mean, they made him a disabled person, which is kind of cool that he's a lead character, but besides that, he's bland as hell. And the only interesting thing about that is the visuals and the blue peoples. Besides that, no one cares about the military characters, no one cares about... I don't know. It's lazy in aspects of being a character-driven movie when they're trying to create, like, a relationship between...
They did have hair sex, though.
That did happen.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot about that.
They did have hair sex, and everyone was like, whoa, hair sex.
Yeah.
Some people were like, can we try that? And other people were like, don't try it.
So nothing I guess...
Don't try it.
Don't try it!
I kind of already answered my next question, but I'll still, like, pose it. What's the difference between an EU and a franchise at this point? Is there much of one, or, like...
Well, an EU, Marvel's an EU, it's, I wouldn't consider it a franchise, I would consider the Iron Man movies a franchise, I would consider the Spider-Man movies a franchise, the MCU is an EU itself, Lord of the Rings is a franchise, the Tolkien is an EU kind of.
Yeah, but no, I agree with that.
Because it's different.
It's the same as Star Wars.
It's yeah.
So I get what you're saying. I think in the terms of like,
so it all takes place in the same universe, but like it's different. Not like different stories, because like every film has somewhat of a different story, but like different, like new set of characters, new set of story. Sylvester McCoy.
I tend to be in the optimistic perspective of the franchises. Like, they're not. I think that there is a certain part of like the business aspect of the making of these films that's totally milking them because it was successful once, so why can't it be successful again? Yeah. I totally think that's a thing, but there's an optimistic side of me that wants to go, no, these people actually really do care about these stories and these characters and want to keep them alive and continue, like, you know, please the audience and give them what they want story-wise, which is why I'm personally someone who hasn't lost faith in the sequels to Star Wars yet. There's issues with them, obviously, but, like, I care too much about what they've done so far, so like, why would I stop now when we're almost there?
I like the new sequels a lot.
No, I think they're good. Yeah. The Force Awakens was amazing.
Force Awakens is a great movie. Fuck anyone who says otherwise. The Last Jedi,
it was
alright. I understand both sides, but also I really like that movie a lot. But also, fuck anyone who says that Luke is a bad character in that movie, because that's simply not true.
I thought he was done pretty well.
I thought he was done pretty well, too.
I could rant about that for hours. Do not even give
that would start an entire different... That would span three different seasons of this podcast.
No, Luke is an amazing character, and I hate people like going, oh, Luke was a pussy in that movie.
That's what happens to old people when they lose everything. Fuck off.
Well, that's another thing. So, like, going, this is back a bit, but just trailing off for what you were just talking about. Taking movies too seriously. Like we said in the very beginning of this, Far From Home was really fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I think for that...
Oh, yeah, we did start talking about that.
Yeah, so, like... Marcus, Cosmonaut Marcus, he's fantastic on YouTube. He did
the Cosmonaut Variety Hour.
Yeah, he did a little review on Far From Home and said that. God, what did he say? I watched this review like as soon as I saw this movie because I just love watching his reviews. He said something about the movie being fun, which I totally agree with. It was so much fun. God, I've lost my train of thought. This sucks. It will come to me, but taking movies too seriously, like, I think that it can apply for, like, Marvel movies as well as, like, Star Wars movies, and just, like, it's okay, obviously, to be picky about things and complain, like, that's what open discussion is for, like, if you have an opinion, share it, and you don't have to like something if you don't want to, and obviously, like, every movie has flaws, and no movie's perfect, but, like, people get so heated about this shit, and it's, like, you have to remember, at the end of the day, it's a movie.
Yeah.
It's a movie about superheroes, and Star Wars is a movie about space wizards.
They're not real.
Yeah, man.
Is the thing. Yeah.
But, like, I mean, I get pretty into shit. Like, I'm into the Star Wars. I follow Star Wars fucking everything. I'm just really into the story of that series. I'm into the story of that series, and, the same way with Marvel, but I feel like I'm not as connected to the Marvel universe as some people are.
Yeah.
But I still, like, I'm really interested in the characters. But, gosh, I really wish I could remember what I said when I brought up Marcus. I just don't... We were talking about... Gosh, well... I know... Oh, so he had mentioned that if they would have tried to make, like, a sad, like, serious film right after Endgame, then it would have been like, oh, okay, more of this shit.
Yeah.
But they made it, like, upbeat, like, teenage romance comedy type shit, and that really worked. And, like, the opening of that film is the best. Amazing.
It was
It's so good.
They do, there's, like, Liv hasn't seen Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah.
Which, it isn't really, like, required. Just for fellow viewers out there who haven't seen it either, if you do want to see Far From Home, it isn't necessarily acquired. You just might not know some people, but you learn. But, the opening scene of Far From Home is, one of those, like, really shitty school, like newscast that they do at the. I remember when Eli Penny did those.
Yeah,
a lot.
Yeah.
And like they have the videos up there. There's like three different versions of those in Homecoming.
Like that was funny. I think Hollywood is getting slightly better at writing teenagers too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that was a very real representation of how teenagers actually are, and how high school and like how schooling at that age actually is. Because it's like, I think the last good representation I saw of that before Far From Home was 8th grade.
Honestly,
but
I think the
Bo Burnham just knows how kids are, so I didn't expect anything.
I still haven't seen 8th grade. I need to see it.
Oh, it's so good. Like, I remember just saying it was cringy, but like in the best way possible.
I think, and this might sound weird, but I think the most human touch in the entirety of Far From Home is in that opening intro when you see the Getty Images logo on there.
Yeah.
It just shows like that, like, I don't know.
That was a nice way of being meta, but not to the point where I was like, okay, Marvel, we get it. You know, like, that was cute in a way. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe cute's not the right word for that, but. Shit.
It looks like one of those, like, Kyle Mooney videos, like, the in-betweens.
Oh my god, yeah.
With, like, where he just puts all the stock images in between.
Jeez. No, that's really funny. God, I'm losing my train of thought, guys.
Prinkles, wavy.
This is a shorter podcast today, but we saw this movie and I had some stuff I wanted to say and we're like, oh, we should talk about this. I had some other thoughts that I said in the car. Like, I always do this where I, like, say something and I'm like, well, I should just save that for a podcast, but, back to what you were saying about humanizing characters, Owen. This kind of connects into taking shit too seriously as well. So, like, a lot of people with the MCU specifically have an issue with comedy in the MCU.
Yeah.
Ever since Guardians of the Galaxy came out, Marvel's been like, well, shit, that worked really well. Because, like, let's be honest, there's some people that read Guardians of the Galaxy, I guess, but before I saw that movie, I'd never heard of the Guardians.
Yeah, I had never heard of them before I saw that trailer.
I remember seeing it, too. I went and saw it with my friend, and I was going with her at the time, because, to be honest, I just couldn't care less about the movie we were seeing, but I just wanted to hang out with her.
Yeah.
Went to that movie with, like, little to no expectations, not wanting to, like, really care, and just like, alright, I'm just going to sit through this, whatever, it should be entertaining.
Yeah.
Walked out going, that was what? That was amazing, and like, that what a wonderful movie.
That was, Guardians, like, immediately, like, my favorite.
Yeah, Guardians was amazing.
Marvel movie, like, right after I left that theater, I'm like, alright, this is...
It really opened up the MCU a lot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it just felt so much more real and, like, human.
It felt very organic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, that's another thing. So, like, ever since that movie came out, people have been mad that that's been a repetitive thing. In Marvel movies, there's occasionally a little joke slipped in there.
It didn't start there, though. It started with the first... The comedy started with the first Avengers. That's when the quips came in. But then Guardians of the Galaxy really kicked it off.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But that complaint's been a thing since, like, the first Avengers.
Yeah, I can understand that complaint. Because I do think, like everyone else, there's some moments where it's like, that was not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Just not funny. But comedy is subjective, which is what makes that difficult to avoid if it's something that's like that bad. But I personally, after seeing Far From Home, don't really have that much of an issue with it anymore.
Yeah.
Because I really love Spider-Man's character in this movie and like what he has to go through and shit with like all the pressure of being like heir to Tony Stark and Stark Industries and shit when he doesn't want to be, and like they're kids, so they're gonna talk about memes and one of them's gonna vlog their entire life and shit, and like,
yeah,
did they talk about memes?
I mean I would just assume that's something that, you know, they're trying to get kids interested, but also like for people that are our age who kind of grew up with that culture and, like, are maybe a little bit older than, like, Zendaya's character and fucking Tom's character and, like, we get that stuff because we lived it, so it's like, it's refreshing to see that, like, a teenage character is written as a teenage character very well, looks like a teenager, which, yeah. That's another thing about Tom that's just, like, really interesting to me. It's like, he looks like he's a 16-year-old. Right. I don't know. Someone may argue with me. I don't know that much about Spider-Man, mm-hmm. but I always thought he was a high schooler. Yeah. But never until Tom Holland did he ever look like a high schooler.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, because Tobey
Maguire was, like, awkward 23-year-old man.
Yeah, like, I love my mom's bitch.
It's pizza,
I love him,
it's pizza time.
Yeah.
And then Andrew Garfield is literally cocky, just dude. Cool, cocky skateboarder.
Yeah, and like,
that's
not
Peter Parker. That's Peter Cocker.
See, I feel like I don't have a right to have a opinion about that because, like I said, I'm not really a big Spider-Man person. But every time I'd see him, I'd just be like, I thought this kid was supposed to be like a kid. He looks like an adult. He looks like a grown ass man. I don't get that. And like, that's not just a Spider-Man thing. Like, that's been a long standing thing in Hollywood in general. Is we're gonna cast mid-20-year-olds to play 14 to 16-year-olds, and it's like sometimes it's passing. Tom Holland is 23, and it works. He passes a 16-year-old, and he also was really good at acting like a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
But other times, it's like, just don't say they're teenagers.
Right.
Like fucking Riverdale. Don't even get me started on that.
Fucking
bullshit.
Riverdale.
What a garbage show.
I'm weird. What's that full line? No, I wear this. You ever see me without a hoodie on?
You ever see me without this hat? No.
You know what?
That's weird.
You know what Pac-Man stands for?
Oh my god.
Program and control. Mo Bomba or Sekuno.
No, but like, I won't go into it with Riverdale, but like, that's another example of like, oh, these are supposed to be sophomores in high school?
Yeah.
No, they look like they're college students. And it's just not believable. Half the show is, like, risque as fuck, which I didn't understand. I ended up regretfully watching, like, a season and a half of this goddamn show.
Yeah.
A lot of people have issue with the fact that, like, there's this annoying character in Archie comics originally. That's just the annoying teacher. Yeah. In Riverdale, they made her this 30-something-year-old substitute teacher that Archie then sleeps with. When she was supposed to be this creepy, annoying, like, woman who should be retired already, that's a substitute teacher, like, in the comics, she's just, like, that teacher that, like, tries to get them in trouble all the time. No, Archie fucks her in the show.
What?
Isn't that the weirdest shit ever?
What?
He has, like, a weird...
Here's this creepy old lady. What if Archie fucks her? And then the whole boardroom's like, I like that idea.
That's
genius. Genius and delicious. I'll eat that shit right up, gobble.
And then I love Cole Sprouse, but God, his performance is fucking... That show's just bad. Everything about it is bad. I hate that show with a passion, man. It's so poorly written, and the dialogue is just exhausting, and don't watch Riverdale, man. Don't torture yourself with that goddamn show.
Okay, but what's even worse is the Jaden Smith anime.
Neo-Yokyo?
I
don't know what you're talking about.
Is that worse?
Brilliant social
commentary. I haven't seen a whole lot. Okay, yeah.
I feel like I would rather watch Neo-Yokyo than Riverdale.
Riverdale is actually...
I haven't seen enough of Riverdale. I mean, I really haven't. I've seen clips on YouTube. But what I've seen, it just looked unbelievably bad.
You know
bad.
What tops all this? Larry the Cable Guy.
All right. He's
funny guy. Even funnier live. Oh, what's that? I think it's dinner time. I'm just gonna sit here and sharpen this. You guys can keep talking.
Okay, cool. Owen is sharpening his blades for you audio listeners. As in all of you, actually.
Just you audio
just,
listeners.
Just the people listening.
We actually have a secret... video cast somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere buried.
I think. Oh, it looks like three of you have found it. Hi, welcome to the video cast.
Yeah, I don't even know where the fucking camera is.
We don't know where it is either. But like,
no one knows how big my
mouth
are.
Yeah.
Other things that have been saturated, other genres. I know a lot of people have issues with horror. I'm not really a big horror connoisseur myself, but I've slowly been, like, inducted into, like, horror culture because I know a lot of people who love it, and I understand it. It's pretty well done. But for people who, I guess, are, like, have been a part of horror culture for a long time, I know that some movies that come out now are just, like, repetitive and just pure jump scare and, like...
Right.
Or just, they're either, there's like, I feel like there's no in between, especially recently. It's like they're pure jump scare bullshit.
Yeah.
Or they're just completely psychological thriller. Right.
And I like, don't mind the completely psychological
thriller. I love psychological thrillers, but like, I feel like there's no spectrum of horror movies now, and they're all about the same things. Right. And some of them are alright, some of them are. I feel like only a few have been memorable. I feel like Jordan Peele is like one of the only people who's actually experimenting with that genre.
Yeah. Jordan Peele's a fucking genius.
He's wonderful. I mean, he Get Out and the Us Alfred are, like, Hitchcock amazing.
Of this fucking century, dude.
Yeah, that is a bold statement, but it is also your opinion. He's fantastic, though. Us was amazing. A Quiet Place, that was really I think good. That was a pretty good film.
Jordan Peele did that one.
That set the bar a bit for what to release in theaters when it comes to like horror. Because
it was different.
Yeah.
Like A Quiet Place reminded me of like all those ideas that we've just talked about. Or like, what if there was like we've talked about an idea like Quiet Place like long before it came out. Like what if there was like you couldn't speak.
Yeah.
Or it was so funny. Like, we've talked about that idea before, and I remember just getting really happy when that came out. I was just like, we've thought about this, and now it's happening, and it turned out good.
Well, and that's another thing. So, it's interesting you actually bring up Quiet Place, because there's supposed to be a sequel coming
out.
That's what I heard.
You brought up
Quiet Place. I did, yeah.
Don't turn this on me.
There's supposed to be a sequel coming out.
I don't know how they're
going
to do
And then it's like, well, okay.
A quieter place.
Do we really need the explanation of, like... what happened, because I was satisfied with not knowing, just knowing that, oh, these aliens exist that live off of, like, they hate sound, so they kill everything that makes a sound.
Yeah.
But, like, now I feel like the sequel's gonna be like, well, this is why it happened, and this is where it happened, and it's like, and okay, also, but do we need that, or are you just milking this movie?
Yeah.
That's when it becomes difficult, because it's like, is the company, or the production company that made this movie... milking the movie to make more money solely, and the sequels are going to be garbage because that's usually what happens, unless it is literally the MCU or Star Wars or some shit.
I think the best way to do a sequel to A Quiet Place, here's my idea.
Alright, he's pitching.
Way further into the future.
Okay.
It's like, instead of just a family, it's an entire community.
Oh, yeah.
They've built up stuff. I don't want to know how it happened. Honestly, I don't care. I like not knowing.
Okay, yeah.
I like the idea of, like, it being farther. It shows, like, people, like, kind of building up again. And then one thing happens and everything falls. They all get into this camp. I think that would be a better sequel than, like... I don't want a less quiet place before that. I want the quietest place.
Right, no, yeah. The quietest place. Now, one sequel I'd be okay with, and this isn't announced, but it just made sense to me. Us needs a sequel called Them. That's one movie that I was like, I want to know more about why the hell everyone has a goddamn clone of themselves.
I
want details on that universe. And
I also want to know what they were doing, what they planned on doing. Are they just going to stand there forever?
I have no idea. That's something I'd be interested in seeing, because I feel like that just works in its own way.
Because there's no way they killed everyone.
No.
So what happens when...
No idea.
I'll take a minute.
Interesting. Yeah, it's an interesting little subject. But yeah, I feel like in some certain... It's hard to distinguish... what is just milking the shit out of a movie that should have just stayed a solo movie, and what is someone actually passionately trying to, like, pursue something they care about deeply because they want an audience, like, a consistent audience to stay with that story.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I grapple with a lot, because I feel like it can get kind of heated, at some aspects of Hollywood. I really don't like Hollywood. But, shit, I lost my train of thought again.
Jamie, pull that video up.
I did a lot.
We need a Jamie.
We do need a Jamie. Can we just get a Jamie?
Yeah. We can just summon one, yeah.
Jamie!
One of your fucking snap spells. The fingers.
Bring out the GIMP!
I think he's sleeping.
Speaking of Tarantino, are you guys excited for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
It looks good.
I'm excited. It looks like like it should be a good movie.
I love his cast. Yeah,
I'm getting a huge Coen Brothers vibe from it.
You know, I was honestly surprised when I saw that it said Quentin.
It looks more like a Coen Brothers movie.
It really does.
I like. He's like, my hands are registered as lethal weapons. If I accidentally kill you, I go to jail. Anyone who accidentally kills someone goes to jail. It's called manslaughter. That's a fun... That looks like a good movie.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Very excited.
Taking Marvel movies too seriously. Lordy.
This is the movie podcast.
Let's talk about the most untouchable superhero movie, Logan.
I haven't seen it.
What?
Whoa.
I don't know anything about Wolverine.
Okay, never mind.
I would love to.
We can't spoil it for you. Yeah.
You need to see Logan, dude.
Yeah.
That is, honestly one of the best superhero movies.
Should I watch other Wolverine movies before that, right?
Yeah. There's X-Men Origins, which everyone hated, but I have a soft spot for it.
It was the movie
that got me in the X-Men in the first place, because before it, I was like, ooh, I don't know what this is, and I saw it come out in theaters, like, my little 9-year-old mind didn't comprehend that the movie itself isn't that great, but at the same time, I was like, this is awesome, and then I went back and watched it. Also, you cannot, no matter how much you hate that movie, you cannot tell me that the soundtrack to that movie isn't gorgeous.
It's really well done.
It is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Then the Wolverine came out. They played a Cracker song in that. That was cool. It's also in Japan. And then,
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Then, I can never tell if Wolverine's just its own franchise because yes, I can. Never mind. That's a stupid thing to say. It's late.
No, it kind of is. Because I remember, like...
Well, because they also connect X-Men in there a lot. Yeah.
Because, I feel like X-Men are kind of their own thing, but also X-Men wouldn't be X-Men without Wolverine. So it's just, like...
Well, that's how the movies make it. Because there hasn't been a single X-Men movie without Wolverine. But, when it first started out, he was not there.
Yeah.
And Beast was also just white. He just had a mat. He literally was just, barefoot in a... spandex suit. I like him much better with blue hair.
Same, dude.
But, because I don't know if I could take someone seriously who just came up to me in a mask and he's barefoot.
Yeah. Dude, right.
What are you gonna do, make me smell him? Kick me?
I have had no interest whatsoever in the later X-Men movies.
Dark Phoenix?
I have literally zero interest in that. That just doesn't look good. I could be wrong, though.
I heard it was actually worse than The Last Stand.
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised.
Because it's the same story. Let me get this straight. They took something that someone fucked up really bad and somehow fucked it up more.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that sentiment.
Yeah, Last Stand's pretty stale. I haven't seen Dark Phoenix. I just heard it was... X-Men Apocalypse was not terrible.
Yeah.
It wasn't good, but it does not deserve all of the shit it's getting.
I would agree.
It does deserve some of the shit, but not all of it. I do like how they finally, for the Wolverine cameo, they finally brought in that classic, Weapon X helmet, lives asleep.
I'm awake.
Yeah, I thought you were...
For context, I looked over and her eyes are closed and her mouth is open and she's not breathing.
I can't breathe.
I don't see her breathing at all.
I have trouble.
So,
no, but I was listening half asleep though. Yeah. So,
anytime you see it, just whap her.
Continue what you're saying though.
Bop her on the head. But X-Men Apocalypse is a pretty good movie.
Oscar Isaac just randomly...
Weirdest choice for Apocalypse. Because, Honestly, I would not have had a problem with Josh Brolin both playing Apocalypse and Thanos, because they're very similar characters, and he fits both of those characters really well. But Thanos, Oscar, they kind of just made Apocalypse seem more snaky. But, yeah. Like, in everything else, Apocalypse is a very Thanos-like character. Then in Apocalypse, Oscar Isaac comes in, he's like, I must collect the Chaos Emeralds, Magneto. And Magneto's like, Magneto's like, my family died. And he's like, I can make you control metal harder. And Magneto's like, shit, dude, you're right.
Can you do me a favor and just like describe every X-Men movie, since I haven't seen a single one, just like that.
Really? Like, yeah, okay. Dude. You haven't seen any of the X-Men
movies? No, I have not seen a single X-Men movie.
So, X-Men 1.
Oh, I mean, nothing to do right now. I was just
saying. No, I mean, we're on air. All
right, okay.
So, X-Men 1. I'm eating smart food. And Wolverine's wrestling. And someone punches him, but they get hurt because his skull's made of metal.
Oh, my God.
And you hear, tong! And then Sabretooth finds him, and also Rogue is there.
Who is Sabretooth? What does he look like?
And Sabretooth is his blonde ass brother.
Okay.
And
does he have a big, you know,
teeth? He's got like
yeah. He's kind of like the guy from Ice Age if he was a person.
Okay.
Fucking Diego.
Diego. Yeah.
Oh my God.
He attacks them, and then Cyclops is like, sorry, and laser beams the fuck out of everyone.
Sabretooth being an X-Men.
He was in the first one.
Who played him?
Someone different.
I remember he looked goofy in X-Men.
He looks very goofy in that movie. But, and then Charles finds him and he's like, your abs are huge, Wolverine. Do you want to join my team of cheerleaders? And then Wolverine's like, I need this shit. My dick too big for this garbage. And then, meanwhile, the senator, Magneto, kidnaps him, turns him into water. Stan Lee's at the beach. People who have seen the movie will know what I'm talking about. I'm jumping drastically, but I'm going in chronological order, I think.
Okay.
Then they're trying to teach Wolverine and Rogue how to be the X of the men.
I remember that shit.
And then they...
How about Rogue?
And then Rogue leaves, and then Wolverine's like, I'm on the subway, and so are you. Why'd you leave? And then Magneto's like, I can bend metal hard. And then he, like, takes him out of the subway, and then kidnaps Rogue, because he's like, I need her for my cheese powers. And then...
Okay.
Patrick Stewart, Mr. Xavier, is like, I can be in Magneto's mind. And Magneto's like, what are you gonna do? Kill me? And then
does he?
Patrick Stewart's like, fucking shit. And then he lets him go. So then they're at the Statue of Liberty.
Okay.
Wolverine does a full 360.
Whoa.
And he also stabs himself in the heart and then lives, which was crazy. And also, he wants to fuck Jean, but then Scott's like, no, I'm fucking Jean. But that doesn't develop until a later movie. Okay. It's just kind of hinted at.
And Jean is also Dark
then,
Phoenix.
Then Mystique is also there.
Okay.
She's creepy as fuck in that
Which
movie.
One is that? Is that the
Blue girl? Blue Lady. Not originally. I don't know who that.
Jennifer Lawrence, isn't it?
Default actress,
the
yeah.
The new one. Oh,
the new one's Jax. Default actress.
I'm not offended.
You just offended Jax.
It's kind of true.
Do you like J-Lo?
She's alright. J-Lo.
I like.
Yeah, that's her name, dude.
Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah.
I don't. Jennifer Lopez.
That's
J-Law.
I honestly like Jennifer Lawrence a lot, and she's pretty good in everything I've seen. But at the same time, she's totally default actress. Yeah, I just think that's. Hilarious to call her. Yeah. So X-Men 2.
Oh, okay. Cool.
X-Men 1 ends with they get Rogue again.
Doesn't Wolverine be like, peace?
Wolverine's like, I'm gonna do a Harley Davidson flip out of here. Literally steals Cyclops' bike.
Oh.
and goes on a like a
Scott ever.
He fucking hate like
they hate each other.
They like portray it as like a fucking like friendly like kind of like kind of like jab, but no, like Wolverine literally just stole his dirt bike and goes on like this self like soul finding quest for like almost 2 years with his bike.
He needed
like haha funny. Yeah, haha funny, you stole my like what, like $3,000 Harley Davidson. Yeah, haha.
The only way of transportation.
I had to buy a new car because of you, dick. yeah, I'm like low on rent now, still.
Thanks.
Actually no, they don't have apartments. They live at the mansion. So X-Men 2, it's Wolverine finds a wolf, and at the place, and then he goes back to Charlie, and he's like, I got nothing, dude. And Charlie's like, you aren't looking hard enough, kid. Try looking in your dick hole. And then also Jean's like, I feel shit. And Scott's like, what's wrong? And then Jean's like, I feel shit. Also, Nightcrawler tries to assassinate the president. That's one of the coolest scenes ever. And it's really revolutionary in VFX.
I know what you're talking
and,
about.
And then Magneto's like, my dick hard. I'm also in a prison cell made of plastic that I can't bend. And then he gets... This is actually really fucking gruesome, and I love it about this movie. And it made me love Magneto. He got Mystique, his little pet, to fucking...
Oh my god.
Put a bunch of iron... like liquid iron into these guards' drinks, so when he gets in there, he pulls it out of their body, and it's so cool. And then he like forms like two little. He forms first of all, he forms like just a silver plate just to like ride out on,
yeah.
As the guards are shooting at him. But then with the spare iron, he just forms two little balls that are just spinning around in his hand, and he's just like, ha-ha, "I'm escaping from prison." And then,
that's what he says.
As he does do that, Ian McKellen goes, haha, I'm escaping from prison. Also, I'm gay in the future. No one knows that yet. I'm also Gandalf. And then,
Gadoff.
Storm is a character in these movies, and I forgot to mention her entirely.
She's a great character.
She's played by Halle Berry. She has a really strong accent.
Okay.
I think it's African in the first movie. In the second one, she's just good old regular Halle Berry. No explanation as to why the accent is gone, but no one cares. Because Halle Berry is probably like, I can't do it anymore. I'm American Goyle. And then Bryan Singer, director, who also directed Bohemian Rhapsody and then got fired from Bohemian Rhapsody for being rapey, said... All right, Halle Bailey, since you were in James Bond, you can be American. Even though it does not make sense.
Yeah.
Halle Berry was like, thank you, Bryan Singer, who will go on to direct Bohemian Rhapsody. And then he goes, what? And she's like, nothing. And so then what happens? They're in a plane. And Jean's like, I'm going to freak it. And blows up tornadoes. And then they're crashing. Also, they have Rogue again. And Nightcrawler finds them. And, no, they find Nightcrawler, and he's in a church, and he's like, go away. And Jean's like, I'm gonna bring you down with my fists. And then Nightcrawler's like, don't fucking kill me. And then Storm's like, hold on, he's kind of a hot blue boy. And then Nightcrawler and Mystique probably fucked. Because, oh, by the way, they team up for a second. Oh, because Stryker.
Oh, God.
Stryker is there, and he's like, I created Wolverine. And then he, like, raids the X-Mansion. And Wolverine's like, do I know you? And, Dad? And then Stryker's like, son? And then, point is, they have to hide. Okay. And then Jean goes, I'm gonna freak it and destroy some tornadoes in the X-Wing. Yeah.
Okay.
And then Magneto's like, I caught your plane as it was falling. We're a team now. So then they go and raid Stryker's dam place, and then they're like, "Holy shit!" Wolverine meets Elektra, lady with long nails who are also adamantium. Okay. And she's like, I'm going to scratch you with my sniffers. And then he's like, fuck, I almost died. And then he, like, turns around and takes liquid adamantium and, like, chunks her in the chest. And she's like... And then, the dam breaks. And Gene has to beat Moses and stop it.
Okay.
And she dies. And then Scott's like, no, I fucked her. And then, like, Hugh Jackman's like, no, I wanted the fucker. And then, the ending shot of X-Men 2 is a phoenix in the water. That leads into X-Men The Last Stand, where Gene comes back and is evil. And Cyclops goes to kiss her and is killed within the first 30 minutes of the movie because Gene's like, I'm going to kiss you. Actually, you're blowing up because I'm kissing you. He literally blows up. Also, Mystique is in prison on a truck. And Magneto's like, I'm going to break you out. Guess who else is there? The Juggernaut. I'm the Juggernaut, bitch! And then, throw something at Liv. She hasn't seen these movies.
Throw something at Liv?
Yeah, she's asleep.
Hey, Liv. Liv.
Throw something at her.
I don't want to throw something at her.
Liv, it's Ewan.
There he is.
Liv, Ewan McGregor is here. Hello there. Choose life.
Oh, my God.
she's awake. Yeah, so, anyways, we're on the last stand now. You need to stay awake for this.
I am. I'm phasing. I'm half listening to you
guys. She's phasing out.
I'm phasing out of existence.
But, so then, yeah, Cyclops explodes.
Okay.
Wolverine's like, I'm wearing a tank top now. And then, oh yeah, in X-Men 2, they go to Iceman's house, and his parents are racist. Anyways, X-Men 3. I'm just remembering these as chunks come to me.
Right.
There's a CEO. They think they found a cure for the mutant disease. And Rogue's like, that's cool because everyone I touch dies, and that's my mutant power. And then, so I have to wear gloves all the time. And then Storm's like, fuck you for wanting to not kill people.
Right.
Mutant powers are a gift. And then, also, Hank McCoy as the Beast is there. He's in politics. The guy who created the cure, his son is Archangel, who has wings. And, he's like, no, I want to keep my wings. And he breaks out. And, of the window, and flies away. And then, Magneto's like, I'm gonna kill them, the humans. And then, he assembles an army, and, Logan sees it, and he's like, fuck, I can't do that. Also, Jean's evil. That's, like, the main part of the movie, and she's back. And she goes back to her old house. And then, like, Patrick Stewart, Xavier... goes there and he's like, I can help you. And Magneto's like, he can't help you. And then he makes Charles Xavier explode. Oh. And then, he dies in that movie for a minute. And then, he explodes. Hugh Jackman cries, which is a good moment, a genuine good moment, because that is one of the few moments where people are like, men can cry. Here's Hugh Jackman, big buff beefcake, crying.
Oh my god, that's another tangent for like a million days later.
Yeah, yeah.
Just men crying.
But I'm not done yet.
Yeah, continue.
I'm not done yet.
Continue.
I'm going through all the X-Men movies, by the way. I hope you know
that.
How
many are there?
No comment. So, and then Logan finds the camp.
Okay.
That Magneto's at, and he's like, I'm gonna piss myself. And he fights a guy with spikes. And then,
does he piss himself?
And then Logan goes back to the X-Mansion, and he's like, Charles, oh wait. And then, he, like, oh, we gotta fight him. And then they go to the Golden Gate. Magneto takes the Golden Gate Bridge and turns it all the way over towards Alcatraz, which is where this new hideout is for the medicine for the cure.
Okay.
And then Kitty is also there. Pride, she walks through walls. And she's played by Ellen Page. Oh. And, Juno. That's one diddle we can't be undid, home scallop. And then, so then the senator is there. And then also, by the way, in X-Men 1, the senator blew up in the water. Okay. So X-Men 3, they fight. And then, like, Jean's, like, making everything catch on fire. And Wolverine's like, I love you, Jean. And he has a healing factor. So he's, like, trying to crawl up to her. And he's, like, healing and shit. And then he's like, I love you. And then stabs her. And it's really bad. And then, so then X-Men Origins happens. This takes place in the 70s. And then X-Men Wolverine Origins, what happens is, Wolverine's actually born in 18, like, 90-something.
Okay.
And then, he's like, oh no, I have bone claws, and I killed my drunk dad. And then, he runs off, and then Victor, who looks like he's played by, Edward from Twilight, but isn't, goes out, and he's like, I have long nails. We should be brothers.
Right.
They are brothers. Because you killed my dad now, so now I have to run with you. So then they fight in every American war, literally everyone, up to the 1970s. And then they're prisoners of war, and they can't be killed, because okay. they're mutant boys. And then Stryker finds them, and he's like, you guys want to get metal, and also find metal space rock? Deadpool's in this movie, and he's like, I got swords, and it's still Ryan Reynolds. And he's like... cuts a bullet in half as it's being shot at him. And then Stryker's like, I'm racist towards African people. Where's the rock? And then the guys are just like, or I don't even know, man. The Blob is here. He punches a tank and it explodes. And then Will.i.am's in this movie. I am not making that up. He teleports. And Will.i.am's like, I teleport. And then I'm almost done.
Can you auto-tune that to make it sound like him?
I teleport. I teleport. But, so then Wolverine's like, I ain't finding no rocks for you anymore. I'm gonna go fuck a wife. He gets a wife named Kayla. Okay. And, they fuck a wife. And then, both. Then Victor's like, not happening, brother. Okay. And then he acts like he kills Kayla, and Wolverine finds her, and he's like, no, Kayla. And then the soundtrack to this movie is actually really good, and I love it. So then he goes and try and find Victor and fights him in bar and loses because he only has bone claws. And then Stryker's like, your wife died. I can make your claws. I can make you metal. And Wolverine's like, I'll do it for her, not for you. And then he does it, and then, like, as he gets the metal in his bones, he's still asleep, but he hears Stryker go, erase his memory, and he's like, fuck that shit, and gets out, and he's like, rawr, and then he escapes, and runs into a barn somewhere, and it's the barn of an old couple, and the old lady, as they're driving, he runs by and runs into their barn, and she goes, Bob, there's a naked man in the barn. And they're really nice. And then they're killed. They kill the old couple in this movie. Ballsy as fuck. And then then he's on the run. Then he finds Will Smith again. No, not Will Smith. Will.i.am again. And then Will.i.am's like, I'm with the Blob. I'm with the Blob. And then and then he's like, Blob's here? That's not his name. I think it's Duke or Fred. His name's Fred. And then he's like, wow, you look like the guy who ate Fred Duke, which is really insensitive because Blob is super huge. Liv. I just want to let you know that Ariel just now responded to my text, and she said, why'd you throw up? Explanation point, explanation point. Anyways, back to X-Men. I'll respond to her in a bit. This is more pressing matters at hand.
Oh, man.
You're
still going on about X-Men?
Yeah.
I did fall asleep for
you. We're talking about it. You did fall asleep. But it ain't over yet. But we're on X-Men Origins now. I'm halfway through that. And But, so then he's like, don't call me fat. And then Wolverine's like, I'm going to punch you with boxing glove and it's going to hurt. And then he's like, where's Stryker? He's like, I don't know. And then they find Gambit. Personally, this is one of my favorite parts of the movie because Gambit is really great in this movie. He's played by John Travolta.
Wait, no, really?
He's not. Okay, he's played by...
John Travolta would be a good Gambit, though.
Not anymore. Now that he's Goaty.
He's what?
But he's Goaty. God, is it Goaty?
It's Goaty.
I thought it was Goaty.
Oh,
no, I forget his name. He was in, like, this movie about a guy named John, and he went to Mars. But Gambit's really good in this movie. And then Wolverine fights Gambit, and then Creed comes by. Kills Will.i.am!
Because
Will.i.am can teleport, and like, Creed like figures out where he's gonna end up and puts his hand out, and he like teleports into his hand and like rips his spine out.
Oh my
it's
God.
Brutal as fuck, dude.
I want to see Will.i.am's spine get ripped out. Where can I watch this movie?
Anywhere, man. And then so then like. Wolverine, like, actually kicks Creed's ass because now he's made of metal.
Yeah.
And Creed's like, what the fuck? And then Wolverine's like, I'm gonna whoop your ass. And then Gambit's like, I'm getting in the way of this brotherly feud. And then he, like, puts, like, cards in his ass. And then Creed escapes. So then they have a mutual understanding after they beat the shit out of each other. Gambit's like, lucky for you, I can fly a plane. I can get you to this island. And then Wolverine's like, that's funny, because I need to get to an island. And then they fly to an island, and then Wolverine jumps out of a plane and skims across the ocean at the island. And then he gets there. Kayla's alive. Turns out, Creed was like, wait, you're going to play dead? And then Kayla's like, okay. And she took this shot that essentially made her look like she flatlined, and then put, like, fucking fake blood on her. And then also Pippin is in this movie. I completely forgot about that. He can make a light bulb stay on without it being plugged in. And then he also controls model trains. And then Creed pretty much is the power source to like an entire theme park, which is actually really interesting. And then Creed comes by and kills him, and the whole theme park goes off, and you hear him go, "Ah!" Pippin died. Anyways,
you mentioned Wade.
Back to I already mentioned that you missed it. And then back to the island. So then what happens is, personally, not knowing a single thing about X-Men in my 9-year-old body, I was like, wow, this new Deadpool guy is really cool. Now knowing what I know about Deadpool, I can see why people were upset. Essentially what they did, they took away Deadpool's mouth and made him this weird fucking, like, thing and had swords come out of his hands. And then he's, like, fighting Wolverine, kicking his ass, and then Creed's like, I'm gonna rip his dick off. And then is, like, helping him out and stuff. And then does a little Darth Maul, but on his head. And then his head is, like, Cyclops eyes as well. So he's fucking, like, going around the smokestack and it's falling. Then really bad CGI Patrick Stewart comes in, doesn't speak, and he goes, like, Cyclops, I can help you. And then, so fast forward to the Wolverine. Actually, no, X-Men First Class. All I'm going to say about this movie, it was okay. But, I mean, like, I just didn't like it that much. It's essentially just the forming of the X-Men without Wolverine. Young Charles, James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, they do a really good job. And then, so then, the Wolverine happens. Liv, wake up.
I'm awake.
I'm waking.
I'm waking, I'm listening. So
we need you to do the outro. You have to be up, but not right now.
I'm doing the outro.
Because you're the leader. And then, so shut the fuck up. I'm trying to talk about X-Men's.
You're still on Origins, right?
No, I'm done with Origins.
Wait, what about Deadpool?
I already talked about Deadpool. You were asleep.
Yeah, dude, he's
maybe you wouldn't.
Wait,
yeah.
Can you repeat?
No, I don't even remember what I said. You're gonna have to listen back to
this. Becoming swords. Wait,
that is exactly. Yeah.
Shit. No mouth.
I already talked. Wow, we're way less into this than I thought. We were like 2 hours in.
No,
it feels like
it feels like 2 hours. But essentially,
I just watched
3 of these movies.
You have watched 5
of them.
So, all right, so now we're on to the 6th one.
I didn't know there were this many fucking movies.
So The Wolverine.
My God.
The Wolverine takes place directly after The Last Stand. This is actually a really good movie. I like this movie.
Owen knows his fucking ex.
Wolverine is like a hermit. Okay. And he's like living in Canada. He literally has a huge beard. And he's like, someone shot a bear. And he finds the hunters who did it. And it's like a poison arrow. And he like puts this poison arrow in this guy's hand. It's badass as fuck. Then there's this girl from Japan, and she's like, ha ha, and she has this sword and like cuts these guys in half. And then she's like, there's a guy. And then Logan's like, oh, I need to see him. So then, essentially, what I'm not telling you is that the movie starts off with this scene where it's literally Hiroshima exploding when the bombs go off. Whoa. And this is when Wolverine was in war. World War II, to be exact, and he's in a prison in the ground, and then there's this one guy, and all the officers, when the nuke goes off, are about to commit seppuku, okay. And then he's like, I don't want to do it, and just as he's about to, Wolverine comes up like, you're a fucking idiot, get in my hole, and then they run into his prison hole, okay. And then Wolverine shields him from the nuke. Really cool scene. And then, so fast forward, this girl's like, yeah, I work for this guy. He's, like, 90 and he's dying. He just wants to see you. And then he goes there, and, like, the old guy's essentially like, I mean, you've lived a pretty long life. I don't want to die yet, so you can just hand your healing powers over to me. And Wolverine's like, fuck you, you ain't what one I got. And then, also, his granddaughter's hot, apparently, to Wolverine. And he's like, I'm gonna fuck that. And then, but not yet. And then, also there's a girl in here called Viper. She puts a poisonous bug into Wolverine's stomach that stops him from healing while he's asleep and puts it in with her tongue. And then, lives not remembering this. Then it's the guy's funeral, essentially. And people start attacking. He gets shot. He ain't healing. He's like, what the fuck?
This reminds me of the beginning of Wreck-It Ralph.
And then he's like, what the fuck? I ain't healing. So then he's like fucking like going around. His claws hurt because he's not healing.
Oh, yeah.
And then like him and girl with sword like going around and shit.
Okay.
And then I'm not going to talk about Logan. Because that's spoiler territory, and I really want you to just watch that movie. Okay. But this is leading up to it, so then you can just watch that.
Okay, yeah, I'll do that.
Sounds good. But, essentially, Liv, snap out of it.
I'm listening. Essentially,
in the war, yeah. So then they find, the husband of girl he want fuck.
And swords.
And, like, he's, like, dating a bunch of whores in his apartment. While they mail weed. And then Wolverine's like, you like fucking underage chicks? And then he's like, I don't know what you're talking about! And then he's like, I could throw you into a pool. And then, from your 10-story apartment. And he does. Because he doesn't tell him what he wants. But he lands in the pool. Because he doesn't say there's a pool. Because, like, the girl's like, how do you know he would land in the pool? And he's like, I didn't. Pool, no. He literally just threw this guy off a building.
What a fucking savage.
What a savage. So then he finds, he goes to this lair where they've taken little girl he want fuck with. Okay. And then, he's like, I gotta save her. But first, let me cut this bug out. So he cuts open his chest and takes this poisonous bug that Viper put in there with her tongue, by the way.
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
And then,
It's like the third time you've mentioned that.
Second Jack. Then he's like, oh, now I gotta fight her dad. And then he's like, what are you? And he's like, I'm the Wolverine. And then, they go to the secret where Viper is. Yeah. And it's this big adamantium samurai that's about to kill him. And then he's, like, fighting it and shit. And it's just a robot. It's really cool. Kind of reminds me of that Hugh Jackman movie, Real Steel.
which was a great movie. Okay. It's about robots boxing. And then,
it's called Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
No, it's called Real Steel. And then, then he cuts the head off of the robot. Inside it is the old man. He's like, this robot's been keeping me alive, and I'm not dead. Now I'm going to cut off your claws and put my little nail boys into you and take your healing from you so I can become young. And then Wolverine's like, don't do it. I'm going to vom. And then, live wakey.
I'm listening.
All right.
Don't do it. I'm
going to
vom.
Okay, good. Just making sure. And then, this episode is going to be called MCU Stigma. Also, all the X-Men movies. I'm not done. Okay. So,
oh my god.
So, his daughter's like, I'm going to kill the grandma. And then she stabs him, and then he's like, thank you for saving me, Claws. Yeah. And then he kicks him off, and he's like, sayonara, bub. And then, so that movie ends. Then, the post-credit scene of that, Charles Xavier is alive. Even though he exploded. I'm not gonna judge. I love this man. And then him and Magneto corner Wolverine in an airport. And Wolverine's like, what are you doing? And then X-Men's like, we gotta have your help. And then X-Men Days of Future Past happens. In the future, Sentinels are a thing. And they're killing all of the Wolverine mutants. All of the mutants. Not just Wolverine mutants. There's only one Wolverine mutant. His name's Wolverine. Logan.
Who's he played by?
Huge jacked man. And then, Wolverine's, I mean, live suffocating yourself. for context for people watching still, Liv is entirely encased in her blanket right now. I cannot see her face. There you go. And,
did you finish the Wolverine?
Yeah, I'm on X-Men Days of Future Past now.
Oh,
and then,
fucking bullshit movie.
I like this movie.
How? Okay, so...
So, well, hold on. I'm not finished.
I want to ask a quick question.
Yo, what's up?
How long in between these movies? Like, how long did each one take? Like...
A while.
A year between each one?
If it's any consolation, you can tell how uninterested I am in these movies by the fact that I fell asleep.
So, X-Men 1 came out in 1999. X-Men 2 came out, like, 2002, 2004-ish. Okay. X-Men 3 came out 2006.
So,
okay. X-Men Origins came out 2009. X-Men First Class came out 2011. The Wolverine came out 2013. X-Men Days of Future Past came out 2014.
Okay.
And then,
Logan was 15, wasn't it?
Logan was fucking 18.
Was it?
No. Logan was 2017.
Okay, I wasn't
sure. And,
yes.
X-Men Apocalypse came out 2016. And, but, X-Men, so Days of Future Past is essentially, fucking Peter Dinklage is in it. And he's like, I created these things. They called Sentinels, and fucking, so they gonna find all the mutants and wipe them out, because I'm a racist fuck. And then, also, Charles Xavier is like, I'm a wreck. I can walk still, even though I got shot in the back. And then Beast is like, what the fuck? And then, but that's in the past. In the future, Wolverine's like, I gotta go back in time. I'm the only one who can withstand time travel. And Kitty Pryde's like, but I can also do it to you. And then, so the whole entire future movie, everyone's trying to protect Wolverine. A lot of people die. Storm gets stabbed and dies. And then Wolverine's, having a time of his life in the 70s. Wakes up, we get a nice shot of his ass, and then, he goes and finds Charles, and he's really hot in this movie. Charles is. And so Patrick is Hugh Stewart. Jackman. No, James McAvoy. And then, Wolverine's like, I know you from the future. And James McAvoy's like, you ain't know me. I ain't got no mutant powers you ain't ever heard of. And then, Live, Wake Up. And then,
I'll make this quick. I'm
waking. Essentially what happens is they fight Sentinels, Magneto's like, I'm gonna fucking piss on everyone. And then Mystique is like, I'm gonna make a social statement. And then doesn't shoot the president. And then, X-Men Apocalypse happens. Apocalypse is Egyptian. He comes back like 1,000 years later. He's like, I'm going to jack off on all these people. And then also I'm Oscar Isaac, who wants to help. Magneto helps him. And he's like, Apocalypse is like, I can make you bend metal hard, bro. Okay. And then, yes. Okay. And then Magneto's like, but my family's dead. But now I can bend metal even harder. Right. Even harder. Right. And then Charles is like, but wait, don't do it. And then, Charles was like, I'm not gonna let you do this, Apocalypse. And then, that's the end of it. I'm so tired of explaining this. That took way too much energy out of me.
So you just described all of the Fantastic Four movies. And quite frankly, I can't remember any of the
Now characters. I gotta start from the beginning again. So X-Men 1.
Okay. Okay. So that was how long?
That was about 30 minutes.
That was a 30-minute explanation. Thank you for tuning into our episode about MCU stigma, EU stigma, taking movies too seriously, also all the X-Men movies in length, except for Logan, because I want Jack to see Logan.
Right.
But now he doesn't have to watch every other movie, because he knows what happens.
Yeah, so now I have no reason.
Yeah.
So yeah, Liv is clocked out.
Liv is
officially
gone.
I'm here.
Oh, nope, she's there.
She's back.
Okay.
Not for long.
Well, on that note, thank you for listening.
Thank you guys for listening. This was fun.
This was a ramble, but you know what?
That's what this podcast is. And
it was
fun rambles.
I had fun. Did you have fun?
I had fun. Liv, I had fun.
I mean, you slept. But it sounds fun.
No, I was in it for a while.
Yeah.
Your rant about X-Men didn't bore me. I think I just happened to doze off at the perfect time.
I'm not offended that me explaining every single X-Men movie made you fall asleep. Trust me, I'm not offended by that.
It was very entertaining. I can't deny it.
I just don't even remember falling asleep. I know. Just suddenly I was.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, thank you again for tuning in.
No problem.
Yeah.
Catch you all next time.
Catch you next time on the flippity flip. See y'all later.